Nantucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two now underway. Text line, you want to interact with the show, here's what you do. 251-343-0106. Put that in your, doesn't have to be a smartphone. It could be just your old flip phone, but shoot me a text and let me know how you're feeling. We got a lot to get into this morning. Coming up here in about 30 minutes, April Marie Fogle, about an hour from now. Congressman Jerry Carl, assuming he can make it on, he's having some plane problems, or his carrier's having some plane problems, and he's being the victim there, I guess, of those difficulties. And then finally, our returning champion every Friday, we talk to State Senator Chris Elliott from Josephine. He'll be with us, so stay tuned for that. But joining us now, he's the opponent of the aforementioned Jerry Carl, running for the Republican nomination in our first congressional district down here, Barry Moore, who now represents the second, but you guys probably seen him out and about if you're running or if you're involved in politics. Congressman Moore, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. We are doing fine. How are you, sir?
Yeah, probably like you, just living day by day. But things will slow down here soon for everyone involved. Tell me, how's it going out there?
Well, we're hearing good things. We continue to work, you know, and make the rounds and meet the people, and got in late last night from D.C. So we're, you know, so far so good. We're excited. Marjorie Taylor Greene's coming in tomorrow. We're doing a four-stop event. You know, we'll start in the Mobile area, and we're pushing that out to everybody. And we'll have four stops across the district tomorrow. So I was glad to see Marjorie take a break from the Trump campaign and come help Barry Moore.
Yeah, and, you know, let's talk about this. The campaign itself, I mean, this late in the game, Congressman, and what do you do? Is it just blocking and tackling? I mean, what's your schedule look like? Kind of give us a rundown there.
Yeah, so we'll have some events, like I said, across the district tomorrow. Sunday, we will probably just take it easy. I may text some friends, just check on them and thank them for their support. And then Monday, we'll do some sine wave and some other stuff, just not anything major. At that point, you're not buying media too much. It's pretty well winded down. I'll boat early Tuesday morning and fly to Washington, D.C., because as it stands right now, we have a job to do in Washington, D.C. on Super Tuesday, and that's vote for the American people. So that's why we'll be doing that. A lot of people, you know, and I know my opponents, and they're throwing a party, an election night thing, but we're just going to go. We don't do that when we got a job to do in D.C., so we'll celebrate in November is our plan.
Well, here in the last closing stages of this campaign, Congressman, I mean, it's gotten a little chippy back and forth between the two of you. And I just, let's get your reaction to some of the things out there. Talk about that. You're the never Trump candidate, kind of a strange, I guess, accusation, but that's, you got this pack out there running these ads, and I just want to give you an opportunity to just react to them.
Well, you know, it is odd to me, and I find it incredibly hypocritical that the New York fund manager, Ken Griffin, who is a never-Trumper, he called Trump a three-time loser, is supporting my opponent. And he gave money to Obama. He's supporting Nikki Haley. So when people really step back, and the other saying is follow the money, my friend, when they're out there saying this guy's never-Trumpers and the never-Trumpers are actually funding that, they know they're trying to hurt us. And so the voters just have to ask themselves, why is someone who supports Democrats and is so anti-Trump helping Jerry Carl? That's the $20 million question. And so Griffin and those PACs came in to try to stop us. And hey, look, it is what it is, but they know, in fact, that I'm his ally. I was the first to endorse him. I was willing to take a stand on January 6th and actually question some of the delegates from around the country to put a pause and try to find out what happened. I've been standing with him in the fight when the rubber really hits the road. And I was a delegate in 16. And so he knows, Trump knows we're an ally of his. And so do these never Trump PACs that are coming in trying to attack me.
Well, you call them never Trump PACs. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? What you mean by that?
Yeah, so I mean, this, you got this conservative so and so PAC that hedge fund manager Ken Griffin put $3 million in, and they picked five races across the United States to it, and one of them they came after was me. And so they're dumping money into the Mobile, Pensacola media market, and they're honestly accusing me of being a never Trumper when I was with him from day one, but also of the same things the swamp accused Trump of, tax evasion and overstating the price of real estate. You know, the Mar-a-Lago story has certainly been playing out in the media lately. And then USA Today released, I saw it in my newsfeed, you know, Trump's tax cheat and does all this. So it's ironic to me that the same old storyline that they're using against President Trump, they're using against Barry Moore, and the same people are funding a lot of those talking points. And so it tells you it's coming from the same team who despise Donald Trump, they despise Barry Moore. They don't want people who are really going to fight the system itself to be a part of the system to fight. In other words, they don't want me in Congress, and they don't want Donald Trump in the White House. And, you know, the way they're attacking Marjorie Taylor Greene and Jim Jordan, and really they're two of the strongest allies that Donald Trump has ever had, who have been rallying for me and working for me. It just shows you, Jeff, if you take a step back, who the real Trump guy is, who the guy who has been a friend of Trump, and why they despise me so much.
Well, let me ask you about this, and this is another thing your opponents brought up, or at least his allies, maybe not him specifically. Club for Growth has gotten into race. You early on said you didn't want their support, but they are involved nonetheless. What do you, number one, on the whole Club for Growth situation there? I mean, what do you make of it?
So, they're one thing about Club, they're fiscal conservatives. They put downward pressure on spending, so they support candidates across the country. But they had gotten into it with Trump over a couple of races, I guess, in the Senate races that happened the last couple of years. And so they were at odds. And so I'd asked Club to stay out of it because I was a friend with Trump and the president, and I didn't want him being attacked by them. But they made amends. David McIntosh actually went down to Mar-a-Lago 3 or 4 weeks ago, went to South Carolina to rally with Donald Trump on his plane, and they came back to Super Bowl. They made up. And so I was so glad because both of those guys are trying to get runaway spending under control. We needed them on the same team. When they agreed to get on the same team, they got on Barry Moore's team. And so I'm glad to have their help because we need people who are willing to say no to the runaway spending in D.C. and try to get a handle on the future of this country and this inflation and sort of thing. When we print money in D.C., Jeff, you know it hurts everybody. And so I'm glad that Club and Trump made up, and I'm glad Club come in to help Trump's greatest friend, Barry Moore, down here in this race.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore, running for the first Congressional District Republican nomination here on Tuesday. Let's move on to matters of national importance. But, I had Coach Tuberville on yesterday. It still seems to be border, border, border. And I assume that's what you're hearing on the ground here in the first district. But holding Mayorkas accountable, Trump at the border yesterday with Joe Biden as well down in Brownsville. But, kind of give us an update where that's going and where pushing Mayorkas to be more active on that is.
Yeah, so I'm on judiciary, so we brought the articles of impeachment to the floor, and we voted it out of the House. And so, you know, I think now we need to bring the Holman rule. Marjorie has been really good on bringing the Holman rule. We need to cut his pay to $1. We can, if he's going to stick around, if the Senate's not going to do anything with him, we can at least cut his income. And so, you know, that's one of the things we could take on the fight. But certainly, Jeff, I did 14 town halls in the August recess 2 years ago. Back then, it was the weaponization of government. And so I'm on the subcommittee for that in judiciary. But lately, as we begin to see this border crisis, this invasion unfold, certainly that has moved to the top of the issues. The young lady that was killed, you know, in Georgia last week when she was out running in the morning by an illegal. We've had some people in Alabama, in my district, in Wetumpka area, that were victims of illegal criminals. And so, yeah, it's just we've got the people see that as an issue. I think it is the number one issue in the country. You don't matter the party affiliation, Jeff Poore, you can see that we have a crisis. And this thing is going to continue to burden the American people. We're going to see increases in crime. It's going to put a burden on the education system, a burden on healthcare system. Every system that taxpayers have funded that we've supposedly managed from D.C. and from state levels is about to be overrun by these people who have never paid in.
Congressman, one of the things in the backdrop here in Congress, and then, I don't know where we're going to go with this and how this is going to shake out, but especially makes me worried heading into an election. Leadership, the Speaker of the House, and, I mean, how is it settling in for Speaker Johnson? He's not in any danger of facing a motion to vacate or anything like that, is he?
You know, I don't think so, Jeff. I'm not hearing that. I mean, I know that, you know, those of us in the House Freedom Caucus, we want him to succeed because he is a conservative. I think early on he had the wrong people around him. He was kind of wasn't really expected to be the speaker. He got sworn in so fast his family didn't even have time to get there from Louisiana. So I think it was kind of amazing how it happened so rapidly. But we're wanting to succeed. We're trying to help him get there. And, he did some good things on this border bill coming out of the Senate that were going to allow 5,000 a day. He shut that down and said it was dead on arrival. We've got to do more of that. We've got to be willing. And he knows, and we've been pressing to get him to just say, hey, shut the government down, Mr. Speaker, for a little bit. That's the leverage we have. And let's get these appropriate bills done, because that's the only leverage we have right now. And most of the stuff's being passed out of there, whether it's the NDA or whatever, is getting more Democrat votes than it is Republican votes. And we're the party and majority in the House.
Well, and I know you voted against the CR, Congressman, but there's a reluctance to shut it down. I mean, you think, though, that that's maybe that sends the right message, and it does kind of strengthen the hand of those who want to see us kind of get back to a normal working order.
Absolutely, that strengthens the hand. And here's the thing, too. Massey got it. We had a CR that Thomas Massey came. I've never voted for a CR in my life because that continues the spending levels that Biden and Pelosi put in place. And that's what's crushed our economy and drove inflation to 17.9%. But I've never voted for a CR. But Massey, Thomas Massey introduced one. It's a 1 year. It takes us till the end of the fiscal year. And it literally cuts spending by 1%. The Democrats are terrified of that. That's why they're helping him keep passing these CRs. And honestly, my opponents voted for every CR until I announced I was running. And now all of a sudden he's a no vote with me. So I'm pulling him to the right as well. But we need more people to vote their district instead of just when they're in a campaign and in a reelection effort. They need to vote their convictions and vote their district. And we have a lot of Republicans who will not hold a line. And so if we could get everybody to get together and hold a line like we are to accept in an election cycle, we could fix the problems. But the threat of shutdown, which 75% of the government continues funding, the threat of shutdown is the leverage that we have, or the threat of the 1% cut for a CR till the end of the year. Those are the two things that the Democrats are afraid of. We have to be willing to exercise that. If they know we will not do that and we get rolled every time by the Senate, then we have no leverage.
Well, why is it? Why is it that your Republican colleagues, that's sort of a third rail to them? They don't want to go in that direction. Shutting the government down is, maybe it's just the intense media scrutiny, and, you know, they put up the cameras in front of like a national park showing little Susie crying because it's her school vacation and she can't go there, or military families aren't getting paid. I mean, all that stuff is probably, some of it's probably fiction, but it does seem to have a real impact on some of your colleagues on the Republican side.
They're scared. They are really scared to do the right thing because of the political. But the nation is more important than your reelection. We have to be willing to hold the line on these things. And look, man, Trump did a great job of spinning it and call it the Schumer shutdown. We could pass our 12 appropriate bills out of the House and then lay it in the Senate's lap. And instead, we don't. We roll over every time. And it's just like this NDAA. We had HR2's been in the Senate. We passed it out of the House. It's been up there for 8 months. We could have attached that to the NDA or said we're not going to vote for it and called it the Schumer shutdown. And that's what us and House Freedom Caucus are doing. We wanted to secure the border with HR2. It had metrics, measurable metrics, to remain in Mexico stuff. It was a solid piece of legislation, the toughest border bill ever passed. We passed it out of judiciary, sent it to the Senate. We should have attached that to the NDA. But instead, the Republicans rolled and they let the reauthorization of Section 702 FISA to spy on U.S. citizens and their political opponents. President Trump got spied on with that. So there are some opportunities, but you got to be willing to shut it down. Jeff, it's like this. If a car engine is tapping and it's low in oil, you can't just pour gas in a tank and keep running it. You have to stop it, fix it, and start it back up. If we are not willing to stop it and fix it, then we're going to destroy the very nation that we all love and adore.
Congressman, we're out of time. Folks want to find out more about your campaign then and to these closing stages, because if you believe the Auburn University of Montgomery poll, there are a lot of undecided voters out there. Tell them how they can find out more about you.
So, yeah, U.S. Rep. Barry Moore is our official page. Also, we have Barry Moore Republican for Congress on Facebook. We're out there. We've got the More You Know newsletters. They can go on U.S. Rep. Barry Moore, find anything they need out there. Please follow us. It'll keep you abreast of Marjorie's events tomorrow, our stuff going in, and even services you may need from us, my friend. We're happy to help people. We win awards for our public service, and so we're happy to continue to help folks. Please reach out to us.
Carson Moore, appreciate your time. We'll hear from you one more time on Tuesday, but in the interim, best of luck to you.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day. See you, Jeff.
All right. Barry Moore, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.